The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly I will say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the manservants and maidservants, to eat and drink and get drunk, then the servant's master will come on an unexpected day and at an unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely and assign him a place with the unfaithful. The servant who knew his master's will but did not make preparations or act in accord with his will shall be beaten severely. And the servant who was ignorant of the master's will but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel that we listen to should create that sense of enthusiasm, should bring about that sense of desire to be ready. It should cause interest, indeed fascination. The story was told of little Mike, who was in school, and the teacher was asking the children to put different words into different sentences. On this particular morning, the word selection was attract, charm, interest, fascinate. Little Mike couldn't think of sentences to put the words charm, interest, and attract into, but he did have a sentence for the word fascinate. Eventually, he put up his hand and the teacher asked him for his sentence, and Mike proudly declared, "My grandfather got a new coat for Christmas. The coat has 10 buttons, but because of arthritis, he can only fasten 8. We're called to have that interest, that fascination, that desire to hear God's word, to be ready, to make ourselves ready in God's eyes. We're called not just to be interested and fascinated, but to be passionate. Being passionate is a theme that has emerged again and again over recent weeks. It tells us that Christian living isn't a noun. As Christians, we're not called to be passive spectators in an event, hearing God's word, understanding God's word, and doing nothing. Rather, Christianity is a verb. It's a call to action, a call to be passionate about something, a call to be ready. And the first reading today sets us off on that path, on the trail of action that was reminded to us in the book of Exodus of the Passover, of the Lord preparing his people to be brought to salvation. There's echoes of that same sense of preparedness in our first reading today. The pastor and the author, Rick Warren, says that at one time he typed into his Amazon search engine the words, "a passion for." And it came back with the results that there are hundreds of books beginning with the words, "a passion for." There's a book called "A Passion for Birds," "A Passion for Books," "A Passion for Cactus," "A Passion for Chocolate," "A Passion for Fashion," indeed for fishing, for flying. There's even a book, believe it or not, "A Passion for Potatoes," which is of interest for an Irishman. He concluded that in our culture today, it's okay to be passionate about anything except your religion, except your faith, except your relationship with God. You can go to a rock concert and scream until you're hoarse at the music, or you can go to a game and watch your team lose and cry all the way home. That's normal. But if you were to get excited about a piece of scripture or about something you felt the Lord was calling you to, you might be deemed a fanatic or a nutcase. Today's gospel makes that difficult challenge for us again from its very beginning. So are you ready to go and sell everything you own and give the money to the poor and then follow the Lord? While Jesus did say this, I don't think it was the standard that he was setting for all of his listeners. I think it was a standard he was calling his disciples to. And I think it is a standard that even today people are called to when they choose to respond to God's call to religious life. But I don't think Jesus was making this a standard for everybody. Do you remember Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was the small little man who ran ahead of the Lord and climbed a tree so that he could see the Lord. He may have been small in stature when it came to his life of sin, but he was large in stature when it came to what happened at his house. Out of the blue, during the meal, he said to Jesus, "I will sell half of everything I own, and if I have wronged anybody, I will pay them back fourfold." Do you remember Jesus' response? Jesus did not say, "No, Zacchaeus, you have to sell everything, not just half." Jesus said, there is no greater faith to be seen in Israel. Today's gospel concludes with the strange but wonderful parable about servants. The master had left for a wedding banquet, and his servants don't know when he's going to return. It could be that night, it could be the next night, or it could be in a few days' time when he comes home. They're still called to be ready when the master comes. So there is a sense that they have to be able to predict what's going to happen next. And it's never really easy to predict what is going to happen next. There was a man called Jim Frost. He wrote the horoscopes in the local newspaper at home. You know what the horoscopes are, like Sagittarius and Scorpio and all the different signs. He was supposed to be able to tell what was going to happen next. In the year 2020, after 20 years of work, in the year 2010, after 20 years of work, he was fired, and he never saw it coming. Hal Lindsey wrote a book called The Late Great Planet Earth. It sold 30 million copies. It predicted that 40 years after the establishment of the country Israel, Jesus would return to earth, and 7 years later, he would bring the church and all its people into heaven. The problem was that Israel was established in 1948. Christ should have returned in 1988, and the church should have been carried away 7 years later. Sadly, we're not in heaven. Today's gospel tells us that the master was gone to a wedding feast. In Jewish times and in their culture, if the wine held out and if the party was good, the wedding could go on for a week. So it was very difficult to predict when the master would return. They were simply to be ready when the Lord comes and knocks. On the surface, it was a routine story. Everyone listening would have understood what Jesus was talking about. But then there's the remarkable twist. It involves a role reversal. Jesus says that it will be good for the servants who are watching and meet the master at the door. The master might have certain needs. Maybe he needs help to unpack. Maybe he needs food because he's hungry. But that's not what Jesus meant. In this parable, it is not the servants who will wait on the master. It's the master who will wait on the servants. In other words, it will be good for those servants who are ready when the master returns. Not because of the threat of punishment if they don't open the door, but because there is a promise of a lavish master who wants to graciously treat them. The master will sit his servants down and serve. It's quite a different picture of a relationship between master and servant. It is one where the rewards are beyond measure and grace is abundant. That's the kind of promise that our Lord has given us on his return. He will sit us down at the banquet table, satisfy the needs of his servants. The challenge is for us to be active, to be passionate about getting ready for that great day. Lord, help us to have that inner interest, that fascination, that passion to be ready when you knock at our door.